Take your Bible tonight and go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 tonight. I want to preach a message tonight that I believe is extremely foundational. It'll be very helpful to you tonight. And it is around the topic of forgiveness. And it's in 1 John 2 where we're going to be tonight. And we've kind of covered already most of the chapter here up to verse 12, but I want to kind of get the context. So if you would, let's begin reading in verse number 8. It says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past." We just sung that, didn't we? "The darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Man, that's what we just sung about in that song. That you're the light to the darkness around me. He said, Christian, he said, the darkness is past. The darkness is past. I was had the opportunity to do some discipleship this week with a young man that's trusted Christ as his Savior recently. I got to lead him to the Lord, and we were doing a Bible study. And he's like, you know, he said, you know, my past is not at all something I'm proud of. He said, but I don't want anything to do with that anymore. He said, now that I know Jesus Christ, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. He said, I want to live a different life now. The darkness is past. The true light now shineth. And then look at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. It says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And then verse 12 says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I want to focus on that little verse right there, verse 12 tonight, where he said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You know, sometimes people will ask me questions like, does the Bible teach that there are degrees of sin? Will God refuse to forgive certain sins? What happens if we die with unforgiven sins? Why do we ask for God's forgiveness, but yet many times our sins don't feel forgiven? Does God really expect me to forgive those who do not deserve my forgiveness or do not seek my forgiveness? And hopefully in the course of our message, a lot of these questions are going to get answered in your mind. God's forgiveness is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Yet if it's not understood correctly, it's going to accomplish very little in our daily lives. And so I want to look at this verse. Let's all say it together, verse number 12. Will you say it with me, church? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, John is writing, I believe, by and large, to believers. He's writing to Christians. That's kind of the context of the book. People who have trusted in Christ. They've put their faith in Jesus Christ. And tonight, I hope that's you. I hope that you have trusted in Christ. And so that's kind of the target here that he's doing. The little flock. I think most of the people he's writing to are probably Jewish believers that have come to accept Christ. Even though the nation of Israel crucified Christ, he's writing to a little flock of people that have actually put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah and, of course, as the Son of God. And so he writes to them, and he calls them little children, and he says, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So the first thing that I want to bring out here tonight, very foundational, is I want you to notice that God's forgiveness is for sinners. I want you to look again at verse number 12, and he says, I write unto you, little children, because, what's the next two words? Your sins. Your sins. What is sin? What is sin? What is sin? Think about that. Disobedience to God? Okay. Let's go to chapter 3, and I think it'll define it for us. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. Pretty good definition right there. Chapter 3, verse 4. Same book. Whosoever committeth sin, notice what they're doing. They are transgressing also the law, for sin is, he's going to define sin, sin is the transgression of the law. If there's a speed limit sign that says 55 and I do 60, am I transgressing the law? Yes. Yes, I am. If somebody comes into your house uninvited and they take a bunch of stuff that belongs to you, are they transgressing our civil law? Yes or no? Yes. They are transgressing the law. Well, the Bible says that sin is the transgression of God's law. Well, what is God's law? God's law is here. It's the Word of God. And so sin is any transgression of God's Word. And that would include any type of actions, any type of thoughts, attitudes that are not in alignment with what God says we ought to have and what we ought to do. And it would also include things that we know we should do that we're not doing. That would also be a transgression of the law. For example, this is a really mean illustration, but should we pay our taxes? This is a bad time of the year to use that illustration. But yes, we should pay our taxes. And so if we do not pay our taxes, are we transgressing the law? Yes. So sin, and it's the same way with the Word of God, is that sin is not just doing things that you shouldn't do. Sin is when you know to do something and you don't do it. That's also sin. So in other words, should I pray? Does the Bible teach that I should pray? Yes. Then if I don't pray, am I sinning? Yes. You see, you can sin by not doing the things that you ought to do. Should I love my wife? Yes. If I don't love her, am I sinning? Yes. Should I be kind to other people? If I'm not kind, then what am I doing? I'm sinning. John, in this verse, does not distinguish between big sins and little sins. He just says your sins. And I want to say this to you, that there is no sin that an unsaved person can commit that God will not forgive if that person comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but you don't know what I did. I did something terrible, Pastor Dan. Well, guess what? Then you qualify for God's forgiveness, because God's forgiveness is for sinners. In fact, God does not offer his forgiveness to anyone that's not a sinner. What am I saying? I'm saying that a person is not going to come before God with a pious attitude and go away with God's forgiveness. You're not going to go before the Lord and kind of flaunt your self-righteousness in God's face and go away with his forgiveness. You're not going to go before God and just tell him all about how righteous you are and walk away with God's forgiveness. If we want God's forgiveness, then we had better come before God with only two things, and that's your sin and your humility. Amen, church. I want you to show you a verse. Go back to, keep your bookmarker here, and I want you to grab Luke chapter number 18. Let's go there. Luke chapter number 18. Keep your bookmarker here, and in 1 John, and let's go to Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. All right, let's begin reading in verse number 9, Luke 18, verse 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now let's read that again. This is a parable. Jesus is speaking. His target audience are those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse number 10. Here's the parable. Here's the story. two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, which would be a religious leader, and the other a publican, tax collector. They were viewed as swine. All right? And then notice verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, he points to him. He says, verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's listing all of his self-righteous deeds. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a what, church? Sinner. Look at verse 14. I tell you that this man went down to his house, and what's that next word there? Justified. Rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So when you come before the Lord, you have to come before him with humility. And if you come before him with humility, there is no sin that God will not forgive. You say, but Pastor Dan, I've been a really, really bad sinner. There's no such thing in God's eyes. He hates and he judges all sin. Are you telling me there's good sin and bad sin? No. No. We may not like it, but the fact is, sin is sin. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you told a lie or if you murdered somebody. I'm telling you, sin is sin. And everybody that's a sinner needs forgiveness. I want you to go to Revelation 21:8. I want to show you a verse there. Go back to the last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21. All right, look at verse number 8. But the Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all what? Liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, this is a description of people who did not go to the cross. They did not come to Jesus Christ. They did not go for God's forgiveness. But my point is that he's kind of giving you a rundown list of the kind of people that are the sins that are going to take people there. And you'll notice that things like unbelieving and lying are in the same list, fearful, with abominable, murderers, idolaters, sorcerers. It's the same list. How many of you have ever told a lie? Don't lie. All right. So you see what I'm saying? I mean, God puts it out right there. Go with me over to go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Let's look at a passage here and see if you're anywhere on this list. Romans chapter number 1. And look at verse number 24. He's describing the Gentile nations, and he said the wrath of God, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So notice he's saying God is going to bring wrath upon sinners unless they have received his forgiveness. And then he starts describing the people who are going to receive wrath. Look at verse number 24. He says, wherefore God also gave them up. Talking about these heathen people. He says he's given them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. He just let them go in their course. And he says, I'm going to end up having to bring my wrath unless they accept my son. But notice, he says, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fit. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now notice the list and listen, let's just see. I think we're all on here, right? He says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, that's sexual sin. Wickedness, covetousness. You ever covet something that wasn't yours? Maliciousness, full of envy. You ever envy people? Then murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. But then he says, despiteful and proud and boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents is on the list. Anybody ever disobey your parents? Thanks for your honesty, brother. Amen. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So I want you to see here that sin is sin, you know? And man, you look at that list and there's not a one of us who can say we're not on the list. Not a one of us. Go over to chapter 3, same book. Look at this. He's describing the Gentile nations again. And look at chapter 3, verse 9. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Say that verse with me. There is what? None righteous. No, not one. And then he starts describing, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way and are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And again, he's giving a general description of the Gentile nations. He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing, just cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth, how many mouths? Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. How many of us are guilty? Every one of us. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Is anybody going to go to heaven because they're better than somebody else? No. Because at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. What are we? We're sinners. Do we all need God's forgiveness? Yes, we do. And that's what I want you to see. Is that when it comes to this matter of standing before God, there isn't like degrees of sin. No, if you've committed one sin, the Bible says that you stand guilty. You're guilty before God just as much as a guy who's maybe done it 500 times, but you've committed that disobedience too. You've transgressed the law of God. But aren't you glad that his forgiveness is for sinners? Amen. He loves to forgive. You know, it's not like you have to, okay, I got to go to church for a year and then God will forgive me. Man, aren't you glad that isn't the case? You know, I got to go through some religious rituals and then God will forgive me. I have to go and meet with the preacher and he's got to pray over me, then I'll get God's forgiveness. Or I've got to do this list of stuff, then God says he'll forgive me. Man, I am so thankful that God loves to forgive. He's willing to forgive. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good." He said, "You're ready to forgive." Woo! Man, God is, he is right there, on go, ready to forgive. "Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." He said, God, you are plentiful, you are plenteous in mercy to all those that call on you. You're ready to forgive. In Daniel 9:9, it says, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." Man, that's amazing. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. That God, does God forgive us grudgingly? No, he does not. The Bible says, I think it's Micah, says that God delights in mercy. He delights in being able to be merciful and to forgive. You see, God's forgiveness is for sinners. We all qualify, amen. But number two, God's forgiveness is personal. I want you to go back to our text. Go back to 1 John chapter number 2. I hope you put something in there like a bookmarker. 1 John 2, and look at verse number 12. All right, 1 John 2:12. It says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you." Your sins. Can you say that with me? Your sins are forgiven you. Say that with me. Your sins are forgiven you. Do you see how personal that is? It's personal. If your sins are forgiven, it's not because mom and dad prayed and asked God to forgive you. If your sins are forgiven, it's not because mom and dad sprinkled you on your head with water when you were a baby. If you're forgiven, it's not because you shook hands with the preacher and he prayed for you. If your sins are forgiven, it's not because you went to a counselor and you told the counselor all your sins. If you're forgiven, it's not because you went to a priest or a pastor and told them all your sins and then they prayed to God for you. No, if your sins are forgiven, it's because you humbled yourself. You cried out to God and you recognized your sins and you asked God for his forgiveness. If you're forgiven, it's personal. It's because you ask God. I want you to take your Bible, keep your bookmarker here, and go to Psalm. Go to the Old Testament, to Psalm 51. Let's turn back there for a moment. Psalm 51. Right in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. Psalm number 51. Psalm 51. All right, let's look at verse number 1. Notice what David writes. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." This is a great prayer right here, by the way. This is a prayer of David. Now, I want you to see what you can draw out of this, okay? You read along, and I want you to see kind of what you can draw out of this as we read. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity," my sin. "Cleanse me from my sin." Wash me and cleanse me, he said. Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David goes and notice the personal accountability that he takes for his sin. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. Sometimes we go through life blaming other people for our sin. That's not good. That's not healthy. There comes a point where we have to acknowledge our sin. We have to acknowledge our transgressions. We have to say, God, against you and you only have I sinned. And we have to, as they say, we got to man up, you know, and we got to be like, okay, you know, I need to face this thing and be honest about this thing with God. This is wrong. This is just wrong, you know, and I can try to sugarcoat it, and I can try to act like, well, it's no big deal, and it's culturally and socially acceptable, and you know what, everybody does this, and you know, I'm this way because so-and-so did this to me, and we can try to excuse our sin all day long, but you know what, if we want forgiveness, we got to get honest about it. We got to say, God, this is it. I'm wrong. Some people believe that when they die, if they don't have time to get things right with God, that a loved one's going to pray for them once they're dead. And they think that a loved one will seek God's forgiveness for them and is going to pray them out of whatever judgment they think it is. And you know what? I wish that was true. I really do. I mean, I wish that was true. And you know what? I wish we could do that. I wish that there was a way that our loved ones who have rejected Christ, they've rejected the cross work, they've rejected God's forgiveness. I wish there was a way that we could pray them out of the eternal judgment that they will incur. I would love that, absolutely love and embrace that. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. And I realize people mean well when they try to do that. Now, they mean very well. They're very sincere. But the truth is that it's an exercise in futility. It's not going to accomplish a thing to pray for somebody once they're dead. That's, by the way, that's why we ought to pray for people while they're alive. You see, God's forgiveness is personal. It's between you and God. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Very personal. Let me share with you one more thing. Go back to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be done here in just a couple minutes here. We're going to finish up. But go to 1 John 2. I'm going to probably only get through about half of this tonight. Next week we'll come back and do the other half. But look at 1 John 2. Look at verse 12 again. Go back to the initial verse we had, 1 John 2:12. All right, let's go back there. And he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. And I want everybody to say those last four words with me. For his name's sake. By the way, whose name is he talking about? Jesus. I want you to notice, number three, that God's forgiveness is based upon Jesus Christ. If God is to forgive us of all the sins that we have ever committed, it's going to be for one reason, and that's because of the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to go to chapter 3, same book, and look at verse number 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Y'all there? Y'all see that? Chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Here's the good news. Verse 5. And ye know that he, that's Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ was given to us to take away our sins? And if God is going to forgive us, It will be because of the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. Paul said that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Notice verse 12 again. Go back there, 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for the church's sake. Is that what it says? No. It does not say for the church's sake, does it? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for your baptism's sake. Is that what it says? He doesn't forgive you based upon your church affiliation. He does not forgive you because you are so lovable. He doesn't forgive you because he's impressed with your high morals. And he's going to forgive you because of the religious rituals that you perform. No, I want you to notice God's forgiveness is based upon and it's rooted in Jesus Christ. There is not one thing that we can do to earn and deserve his forgiveness. Be honest with me. How many of you have ever felt like, since you've been saved, how many of you have ever felt like your sins weren't forgiven and maybe you kind of doubted your salvation after you trusted Christ? Be honest. How many of you have ever doubted your salvation? Yeah, see, so that's good for some of you to see that. Because almost every hand went up. And what I want to share with you, and I have too, and what I want to share with you is this, and this is very helpful, and again, it's very foundational. This is a reminder to some of you. For some of you, it's probably going to be the first time you've ever heard this. For some of you, it's just going to be a great reminder. The reason why we doubt our salvation is because Satan gets into our thinking. He convinces us. He moves us away from the place of God's forgiveness, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we begin to base our salvation on our feelings, on our actions, or on other people's actions, and we compare ourselves. And we say, you know what? I'm not as good as him. I must not be forgiven. I'm just not as faithful as her. I'm not as sweet as that person. Sometimes I'm mean. I must not be forgiven. And what happens is we begin to compare. Paul said, you compare yourself among yourself. And he said, that's not wise. But when I begin to compare myself with others, I may come up short. And so what happens is we begin to start basing everything on our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, comparing ourselves with other people. And we think, man, I must not be saved. I must not be forgiven. But I want to remind you of one thing. God only has one answer for sin, and that is the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only answer God has for sin, is the finished work of Christ. And I want to make a suggestion to you. I have done this for a long time. And I still do this occasionally, is that I remind the Lord in prayer. I remind God regularly that, God, I am trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive me and wash away my sins. And it's not a bad thing for you to remind God of that often. Lord, I just want you to know, I trusted in you however many years ago. I trusted in you 30 years ago. And Lord, I am still trusting the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I trusted in you last year. And I'm still trusting the blood of your son as the only answer for my sin problem. You know, my sin issues, it's only through your blood. And it's a good thing to, and by the way, not a bad thing to remind the devil of that too. Amen. You know, when the devil comes to you and tries to say, oh, you're not saved. You know what? That's a good opportunity when the devil comes to you and says, well, you're not really saved. That's a great opportunity to say, hey, devil, let me just remind you, I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? His blood washes away all my sins. Man, I tell you what, when you say that, Satan doesn't have an answer for that. Amen. He does not have an answer for that. And so tonight, this is a wonderful little verse that we learn so much from. Verse 12, look at it again. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. God's forgiveness is for sinners. God's forgiveness is personal, and God's forgiveness is based upon Jesus Christ. You are forgiven for his name's sake. Amen, church.